Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you and glorify your name for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, and for your mercies that are new every day. We pray that even as we continue to learn from your word this morning, that, Lord, you will speak to us and that you will encourage us and that you will teach us. Lord, our desire is that we may grow into the likeness of Christ each day and that we may honor you and serve you. And now we pray that these lessons will be an instrument to help us in that quest. We pray that you be with us now as we begin for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Basically, this morning we want to conclude our lesson and do more of application and more of discussion. I hope that you had a chance to go through what we discussed last week. But let me just recap on what we've been learning so that we can pick up from there. So we are considering a series on Christian growth or spiritual growth. We want to understand it beyond new believers' discipleship. Once somebody is saved, what next? What is expected of them and how are they supposed to grow in their walk with Christ? And we began by a scenario of explaining how a tree or a plant begins at a very tiny state but grows continually after years to a mature tree. And likewise, as believers, when we get saved, God expects that we grow to be mature and also to be able to serve Him better and also to live a life that pleases Him. And so that's the essence of this lesson. It basically is to challenge us in our Christian walk. How are we faring? How are we developing as believers? What are we supposed to do to ensure that we grow in our walk and in our spiritual walk with God? And so, our memory verse was 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, which says, like newborn babies or infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. We say that spiritual growth is an ongoing process. It's something that is continuous, beginning at the moment of our salvation, and then it continues until the time that God will call us home. So as long as we are still alive and we are Christians, there must be growth in our lives. Then we considered what spiritual growth is not, and we discussed this, that spiritual growth is not based on age or experience. I don't have to be 50 years, 20 years, 30 years in my Christianity to be labeled I am growing spiritually. No, spiritual growth is a personal thing, and it's something that continues. It is not based on knowledge or wisdom that we can think of. It is not also based on works. I don't have to be able to do certain things to warrant my spirituality, no. It is also not based on prosperity, or rather what God has blessed us with. Spiritual growth is something that is internal. It's something that is a process that God works in our lives. As we continue reading His word, then we grow in that essence. Then we looked at what spiritual growth is, and we said that spiritual growth begins with faith in Christ. A non-believer cannot grow in their spiritual walk because they are not Christians. So spiritual growth begins the moment we put our faith in Christ. This is like the beginning point of our Christian life, and this life can only be lived by having faith in Christ who gives spiritual birth. And if you read the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you will realize that Nicodemus was a religious man. He knew everything that the law required. He was actually a teacher of the law, but yet he did not know how to be a Christian or how to be born again. And so he seeks that from Christ, and Christ explains that if you are not born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Likewise, in our walk with Christ, if somebody is not a believer, we don't expect them to grow. We don't expect them to grow spiritually because they don't have any spiritual life in them as pertaining to Christianity. We saw that we become new creatures in Christ, and then we defined what being spiritually dead is. It means to be separated from God. It is to be out of fellowship with God because of our sins. And then this morning I would want us to consider the means of spiritual growth. The means of spiritual growth. Now we have considered what spiritual growth is, and we've realized that it is being transformed into the likeness of Christ every day. It's an ongoing process. It's a daily thing. It's something that will not stop, but as long as we are alive, it continues, and we are expected to grow in that sense. How then do we grow? How are we supposed to grow in our spiritual walk? Now that we know what it is, we know what it is not, we know what it entails, how are we supposed to grow? That's the basic question that we will be answering this morning. And so, God has provided for us means by which we can grow to maturity. And I have listed four of those things. There may be others. This list is not conclusive, but I feel these are the basics of what we need to grow. Now, the first one is the Bible. The Bible is the key and primary means of our growth. If we do not read the Bible, we don't expect growth, because it's like it's what is going to feed our growing. It's what is going to enhance our growth. It is where we are going to get the instructions for which we need to grow. And so if we are going to grow spiritually, first, we must saturate ourselves with the Word of God. We must read the Word of God. We must ensure that the Bible is all that we look to. Yes, we need to read other Christian books. We need to read other fiction books and other things. But the Bible, we must have a time to read our Bibles. Now, I want us to read several passages this morning, and I'll point on all of us who have a Bible. Please just help me read this as we consider. So let me start with Chris. He will begin by 1 Peter chapter 2. Just read from verse 1 to 3. And then Joseph, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Margaret, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Carmen, Psalms 19, verse 7 and 8. And then Muzia, Psalms 119, verse 9 to 11. And then you'll also jump to verse 105. Then I'll read Ephesians chapter 6. So let's begin in that order.
So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
So notice that if we want to grow, there must be that longing, and we talked about this last week. If one desires to grow, they must long for that spiritual milk, that in it they may grow into salvation. And that's the biggest term there, growing into salvation. Now, we are considering this passage, this topic, because it is one requirement for believers, that God requires that we grow, that we increase in the knowledge of His will, that we live serving Him and honoring Him. And Peter comes and tells us, if you want to grow, you must have a longing, a desire to take the spiritual milk so that you may grow into salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
3 verse 16
and 17.
All scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 17. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Notice, all scripture is given. But notice what verse 17 says. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Now, let's just consider the term being thorough. It means if you are doing something, you do it to your perfection. You do it to the best ability that you want to do it. You don't just do it shoddily. You do it keenly, thoroughly, and ensure that it is properly done. Now, the scripture is given so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto good works. Now, that's the essence of growing. So that as we read the Word of God, God shapes our lives. God molds us through His Word to be that person that He wants us to be. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8.
Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to doing everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Notice, this book should not depart in your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night, so that you might be prosperous and successful. Now, prosperous here doesn't simply mean prosperous in terms of wealth and gaining material things. The book of the law is there to prosper us in our Christianity so that we are able to be thoroughly equipped, as Paul says in 2 Timothy, so that we will be able to be successful in our Christian walk. And that's the reason why we are considering this lesson, because we want to find out how are we supposed to grow and how are we supposed to be successful in our Christian walk. Being successful in our Christian walk does not mean that we will not face temptations. They will come, plenty of them. Being successful in our Christian walk does not mean that we will not sin. As long as we are in this world, in this nature, we are still bound to sin. But when we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, then we are able to resist temptation. Then we are able to put away the desires of the flesh. Then we are able to live and be pure in our lives because we have saturated ourselves in the Word of God, and therefore we are able to know what the Word of God requires of us. Now let's look at Psalms 19, verse 7 and 8.
The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up.
So notice how David coins that. I like the part, making the inexperienced wise. Now, when you become a new believer, we would say you are not experienced. Why? Because you just began a new lifestyle, right? You still don't know everything that entails there. So when we come to the Word of God, we come as inexperienced, but when we continually read it, we become experienced. We become successful, as Joshua says. We become thoroughly equipped, as Paul says. And we are able to be successful and prosperous in our Christian walk. And that's what God requires of us. Now, let's continue reading Psalms 119, verse 9 to 11.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guiding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commands, from your commandments. I have stored your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you.
So notice, how can a young man keep his way pure? By returning to the word of God. Because if we want to be pure, the instructions are here. Everything else that we need is here. Verse 105.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shines our ways. It shows us the darkness of this world. So the word of God is all that Christians need to grow to maturity. So if we want to grow to maturity, let me encourage you, do not neglect to read the word of God. There is no way else that we will find instructions that will correct us, that will rebuke us, that will point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that will help us maintain our Christian walk. Let's read the Word of God. Let's meditate upon it. Let's make it part and parcel of our lifestyles. Pastor Hunt always says, let the Word of God ooze into your system. Like when somebody cuts your finger, blood will come out. Because that's what is in you. Now, let's the Word of God be in that sense that if we face any other thing, the Word of God is going to help us to solve whatever case that we come across. It's going to help us to live a life that pleases God. It's going to help us to know how to handle ourselves in terms of character, in terms of conduct, in terms of speech, and all aspects of our lives. So, how are we to grow in our spiritual walk? One, we must read the Word of God. Now, there's a question there. What do these passages say about the Word of God? Let me just read Ephesians 6:17 before we look at that. Notice, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you've seen, especially in military, when they are going to battle, they always have a certain kind of a cape that they put on, that if a bullet hits, it bounces back. They have bulletproof jackets. They make sure that they equip themselves for any stray bullet that may come their way. Now, Paul in this passage is talking about the full armor of God. In verse 17 specifically tells us, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we are going to face the battle of this world, the word of God is our helmet. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is what is the instrument we are going to use to encounter or to counter the attacks of the enemy, and also to keep us safe from falling into temptation. So, what do these passages say about the word of God? Let's discuss. What do these passages say about the word of God?
Basically, it's what I've understood is for our spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they make us to grow strong spiritually, and in the word of God, and like the verse I just read, it's like it shows us the direction where we should head, or where we should go. Yeah. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, sure.
I think the word of God is a guide for a new believer. And these passages that we've read just highlight the fact that it's a new God we need.
Yeah. It's a guide, not only to a new believer, but even to the one who has been in Christianity for a longer time. Because otherwise then we will not go back to the Bible if we will reach perfection. But since we cannot reach perfection in this world, the word of God is our only means to meet the standard of God. It's our only way for which we can walk a life that pleases God. And Peter says that God has given us everything for life and godliness. In the life we are living now, and even in the life to come, we have everything that we need for this life, for the life to come, and to live a godly life. And so the word of God is that important in the life of a believer. And we cannot neglect to read, understand, and saturate ourselves in this word of God. Anything else before we move to the next means? We have to memorize it. That's why Joshua says, meditate upon it day and night. It's not that when you're walking on the road, you have your Bible walking and reading. No. You read it. Now you're meditating upon it day and night. Memorizing it. Understanding it. Praying that God will open your mind that you may be able to understand this word of God and live by it.
You also have to consider certain things that you struggle with personally. Especially in those areas, you memorize passages that deal with that. So each time maybe a temptation comes in that direction, it's easy for you to remember the word and it controls you.
Very true. Very true and very important. Because we all struggle in one way or the other, right? If I asked you, do you struggle in one or two things? All of us will accept and will show that we struggle in one way or the other. Now, how do we overcome these struggles? The word of God has the answer to all our struggles, to all our challenges, to all our questions. The word of God has the answer. Therefore, let's make it a habit of reading, memorizing, meditating, and living it out. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 16 to 17 also it encourages us that without the word of God, there's no way we can be equipped fully, completely to do the good work.
The good work, yeah.
So without the Bible, nothing good we can do.
Sure. So the Bible, and that's why I said, it is our primary means of growth. It is what God has revealed to us as the primary means of our growth. And therefore it must be part and parcel of our Christianity. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Can I say, it's a catalog for a Christian? Just like if you buy a machine, you're given a catalog on directions to use the machine. Because if you get it, you don't know how to use it, then you have to check on it. So as a Christian, I think it's a catalog that guides us on our Christian
life. Sure. It is a catalog that guides us. But as we consider it, we must also consider it in its context. so that we don't misuse it the way others would use it. They say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go into a football pitch and you say, I will score because Christ is going to strengthen me. So we must, as we do all that we have talked about, we must consider it in its context and pray that the Holy Spirit will help us understand what the Word of God means, what it meant then, what it means even to me today, and what God is communicating in that passage. So we've looked at the Bible as the means of our growth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit. And we again will read three passages, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Misa, you'll read that for us. And then come on, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, 14, and 17. And then Margaret, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. So, first of all, the Holy Spirit gives strength.
Ephesians chapter 3, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints that, with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth.
So notice, the Holy Spirit, when we become Christians, God gives us, or God, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. Now, notice what that passage says. He gives us strength so that we might be strengthened, so that we may know, we may understand the depth and the riches of His Word. So, friends, if we are going to grow in our spiritual walk, the Bible is important. But the Holy Spirit of God is equally important, because He's the one who strengthens us, who lives within us, who walks with us daily. And Christ says He is the Comforter. I love the song that sings, "The Comforter has come. The Holy Spirit of God has come." And because He is with us, He is God Himself. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. He is our strength. And therefore, we must always seek to be strengthened by the Spirit of God and live in a manner that pleases Him. Now, what's the second passage saying?
When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in Him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory.
Notice that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So He's not only our strength, He is the seal. It's like there's nothing else that we need, because the Spirit has affirmed, has sealed us. He is our assurance of salvation. He is our seal. What's the last verse saying?
I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him.
A spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may be able to discern and to know the truths of God's Word, but also to know how to counter the vices of the enemy, so that we may live pleasing God. Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit.
So, that is a bit something that encourages me every time I read that passage. Because notice, God is building us, creating us to be like Christ every day. It's what we say, sanctification. It's the process of being set apart. So every day the Holy Spirit works in our lives to set us apart for God's use, to build us so that we can be that perfect instrument that God wants us to be. Now, let me give you a scenario. If you go to those people who do pottery and something, those who use clay to mold and create things. Now, when they you see the piece of clay that they have picked before they work on it, it looks so ugly. You will not even think of it to be used in any way. But once they use their skills on that piece of clay, the outcome is incredible. It's amazing. They come out with something that is pleasing. You'd want it to put it in your sitting room and just be looking at it every day. Why? It's beautiful. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He molds us into the image and the likeness of Christ. He helps us in our daily process of growing in the walk with Christ. He builds us up so that at the end, we might be presented to Christ as the bride of Christ, the beautiful bride of Christ. And so, friends, how are we supposed to grow? God has provided for us the means by which we need to grow. And among these things, He's given us the Bible, the written word of God, the living word of God. He's also giving us the comforter, our help, who is the Holy Spirit, who daily molds us, shapes us, and guides us to be more like Christ. So, the third and the fourth one is now something that is more on our side as human beings. So notice, God has providentially given us His word. He's also given us God the Holy Spirit to be amongst us, to live with us, to walk with us daily. Now, thirdly, our responsibility in growth is that we must pray. Prayer is talking to God. And Joseph, if you'll open Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and then Chris, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14 and 15. So that we look at prayer. It's one of the means that God has provided for us that we must be involved in if we are going to grow. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So notice, Paul is telling us that be not anxious for nothing. Let not the troubles of this world worry you. Let not whatever else that may entangle you worry you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your hearts, let your requests be made known to God. And when it comes to prayer, I like Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. But in all these prayer items that we see, or the prayer passages that we see, there's one thing that we must remember, that we must pray in the will of God. If we don't pray according to His will, it doesn't matter. Look at the story of Elijah and the 700 Baal prophets. These people prayed to their gods. They were cutting themselves with stones. They were bleeding. They prayed and prayed, but nothing happened. Why? Because they were praying amiss. Because they were not trusting in God. They did not seek God's will. In fact, they could not seek God's will because they were not praying to God. But Elijah just made a simple prayer. He did not cut himself. He did not do any extraordinary thing. He just trusted in God and sought His will. And what happened? God answered his prayer. Now, in our lives, there are so many things that we have prayed for, and so many things that God has answered our prayers. But the Bible tells us, let us not be anxious for nothing. Now, we are considering the topic of spiritual growth. Now, if we are going to grow, we must seek. There is a longing, as we saw last week. There is that longing. And one way in which we are going to meet that growth is go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to guide you, to open up your mind as you read His word, that you may grow. And when we seek Him according to His will, He's able to hear us. He's able to answer our prayers. He's able to meet our needs. Even in a way that we do not understand. Notice how that passage says again. Let me read it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is also a means by which we must grow, by which we can grow. And we must ensure that we constantly pray and seek God's will. Now, Pastor Jamie gave me a very practical model of prayer. Is that the way you would talk to someone, you just pray. You don't have to have a time of prayer. You don't have to say, now I'm praying, let me go and sit down in my quiet place. You pray every time. When you think of something as you walk, just talk to the Lord. When you are sleeping, just talk to the Lord. When it's time for you to pray as a normal time, talk to God and ask Him to guide you. Make it an ongoing process all through the day. You pray and seek God's help and guidance every time. And so, the means of spiritual growth is the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and prayer. And lastly, fellowship with God and with one another. Now, when we have fellowship with other believers, we are able to build each other in love and to encourage one another. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, if you are there, I'll read. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Notice, it's a responsibility, our responsibility among the brothers. So he says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But notice verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, there are like two commands from that passage. One, let us consider how to stimulate. I don't know what NIV says.
Spur.
How to spur. Yes, we?
Spur.
So, it's like trying to ignite and help one another in love. So, let us consider how to stimulate one another or to spur one another to love and good deeds. Then my favorite part is not forsaking our own assembling. Coming together as we are gathered together this morning, and as we will gather together in the main service. Why? Because we want to encourage one another. We want to help one another grow in their spiritual walk. I need you, and you need me. We need each other so that we may survive and also grow in our walk with Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't need God. We need God, yes, but we also need each other. Because God has wired us in a way that we are so different. There's one point that you are more gifted than I am. And there's a one point that I'm gifted than you are. And when we bring our giftings together, we become better. We become perfect. We become complete. And we are able to do much for the work of God. So, here is the thing before we get to our discussion time. We are considering the means of growth, the means of our spiritual growth, the means of our Christian walk. It's the desire for every believer that they grow to maturity. But how are we going to mature? One, we have to read God's word. Two, we have to depend on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Three, we must take time to pray, and we must make commitment to have fellowship with other brothers and sisters to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, I want us to discuss the questions that we have there. But before then, is there anything that somebody has or that would want to add and encourage us with in relation to what we are considering this morning? Or any question?
Especially for new Christians, you need somebody to help you get to know the Word of God, to mentor you.
Sure.
It's very important.
Yeah.
I think that's why some people, I would say they're Christians, but you find them in denominations where the truth is not taught the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. It's very true. We need one another so that we may be able to grow. And just like a young baby will need their mother to be there to feed them, to be there to clean them, to be there to direct them, to be there to correct them, likewise, a young believer needs a mature Christian to be there for them, to constantly keep them on watch and ask them how they are doing and encourage them in the Word of God so that they may also grow. And as we consider all this, let's remember 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that we've learned to teach to faithful men, who will go and teach other faithful men. And that's why we need to grow, so that we are at a point where we can also teach others to grow in the essence.
I think another thing is on fellowship, where Hebrews says that let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see in the day the day is approaching. I think this is another aspect where contemporary Christians we are not so much into it. There are a lot of things that come our way that distract our fellowship with one another, because you find that somebody can just sit back in the house on Sunday and say that I'm comfortable with watching a service program on TV and all. Or maybe you find there are a lot of things that come in our way in terms of distracting our fellowship with one another. And we see that it is not even in our modern time, but it was also in the time when the author of Hebrews was giving out this warning. So I think it's an encouragement that I need my brother, I need my sister, because where I fail, she might be gifted in that, just like you've said, and where I'm not gifted, she might help me. So I think fellowship is very important, as much as others are in habit of not.
Fellowship is very important, because if it were not that important, we will not even see it in the Word of God. John, in 1 John, says, these things that we write to you, he gives an example. Let me just read that. 1 John chapter 1. I'll just read from verse 1 to verse 5. Verse 4, I think verse 5. It gives us what fellowship is and why we need to have fellowship. It says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, if you look at that, John is trying to say the word of life here is Christ Himself, who was made manifest, who was with God. So John is saying we had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And now, the things we are writing to you, we are writing so that you can also have fellowship with us. And when you have fellowship with us, you have fellowship with the Father, and you have fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 4 says, these things we write so that our joy may be complete. Now, when we are in fellowship with one another and with the Lord, the believer's joy is made complete. Why? Because we are all walking together. We are all heading towards one direction. We are all striving to please God and to grow in our knowledge of God. And so fellowship is that important in the life of a believer. Because you can know, there is an English say that says, no man is an island that will just stand there you'll find yourself lacking in so many ways. And that's when your brother, that's where your brother and your sister comes in to help you in your area of need, in where you are lacking. And so fellowship is that important. If we are going to grow, we must never neglect the fellowship of believers. As Margaret points out, so many people wait for church services televised on TV. And most of those church services are just teaching heresy and not leading people to the right direction. But when we come to a church, a Bible-believing church like ours, we not only have fellowship and care about one another, but we instruct each other, challenge each other from the Word of God. So, fellowship is very important. Now, let's look at those few questions. I hope you had the time to look through them. They are basically like wrapping up all that we have considered today and last week. And then next week, we now take the second session of our lesson. So, what would you expect in the life of a person who just got born again? What would you expect in the life of a new believer?
I think it's some failures somewhere there.
A lot of them, a lot of failures.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. If you happen to take me to, let me say, to America, then you just drop me there. I have no direction.
Yeah. You know now, no one.
Yeah, I know no one. Okay, so as a new believer, it's really difficult, and more especially that when you just hear the word of God and you don't have someone to direct you, to guide you the way you should go with your Christianity. It's like you've just ventured yourself or entered into a new world where you need some rules and regulations to be well in that area.
Sure. So for a new believer, they need to adapt to the new lifestyle. They need to learn the tricks of the new lifestyle. They need to somebody to be there to guide them. And that's where fellowship and mentoring that Sean was talking about comes into play. And it's our role as believers to identify such people and walk with them side by side, showing them, directing them, and helping them. It's not that we are perfect. No, we are not perfect. But we have the perfect Word of God. We have a perfect God who is going to help us seek those. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, what are we called? What are we called? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2.
Newborn babies.
Newborn babies. So what do you expect of a newborn baby? They need a lot of care, right? They need a lot of care. They are delicate, in other words. You don't just give Nshima to a newborn baby because you'd end up choking them to death. They are very delicate. And so is a new believer. And so is all of us in one way or the other. We must care for one another. We must have the longing to grow so that we may come to a point where we are mature and able to serve God better. The other thing is, what should be the desire of believers according to 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3? What should be the desire of all the believers?
To grow through the word.
To grow, spiritual meal. Basically, it's the longing that Peter is talking about. A longing to grow. That should be our desire. A longing to grow, a longing to get to know God better. Let me jump to question 7. List at least 2 changes you would want to see in your life. Any changes that you would want to see in your life?
Committed to studying God's word.
Committed to studying God's word. Mm-hmm. Somebody else? What's the change that you love to see in your life? Submit to God's word. I wrote to know God's will in everything I do. and many things that we may have, let that be our commitment, our driving force, what guides us as we look to God. Now, because of time, we'll stop there, but I hope that you learned something today and last week for those who are there. And I hope that we are going to put this into practice and desire to grow and to know God more each day. Let's have that longing. Let it drive our work, our deeds, and our desires to know God better. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today's topic. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you for how you've guided us. We pray that, Lord, may you create in us this longing that we may desire to grow, to know you, to love you, to serve you, and to honor you with your life. We pray that you be with us even as we go to the main service. And Lord, we ask that you may speak to our hearts as Pastor Jeremy preaches your word this morning, that we may know you even much better and understand your word and what you have for us. Be with us now, for this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.